for 10 shekels. And so that was something to be brought into play here as far as the church is concerned. He's speaking here. We don't need to act like that. We don't need to just think that we don't need each other. We do. And to not, if those people were thought worthy of punishment, how much more us who have been given God himself manifest in the flesh and a new covenant, a new and living way, and came down and showed us himself and told us himself and walked among us, and to despise that in any respect and just to walk off on our own and to think that, well, I know what the Bible says, but that's doing that. I know what Jesus taught. I know what it says, but you know, I mean, do we really know? And so on and so forth. People do that all the time to try to justify what they're doing or not doing. And we're people too. We can do the very same thing. And one of the strongholds of the church is the assembly of the brethren to keep from that from happening, to help keep that from happening. It can even happen when we assemble. So for sure, don't forsake assembling, because it's bound to happen then. That's the thought here. Okay. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And that's indicating into his hands of punishment. But call to remembrance, verse 32, the former days, in which, after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly, whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly, whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then he goes on in the rest, in the next part of the book, and explains what faith is. Thoughts I had this morning are, last several days about this are, calling to remembrance the former days. And I don't usually like to think about former days too much. I like to think about what's ahead, and I like to think about going forward. I like to think about pressing on. But it's necessary in our lives as Christians to remember where we were, remember what we were, remember what the Lord has brought us from, and where we are now in light of that, and where we're headed because of some of those decisions in the past. And some of the, God has always been about remembering things. It seems like in the Old Testament, there were several, many times. I mean, even the rainbow. It was so I could remember my covenant with you, with mankind, or whatever it says there exactly, but that was a symbol of remembrance. And think of when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan. They set up stones and said, when your children ask you what mean these stones, you tell them what they mean. Tell them what it's about the story of coming out of Egypt and God saving you and bringing you through. And talks about it was a terrible crime to remove the old landmarks, because that's what these landmarks stood for, something, and they were for remembering many things, and on and on. There's many things about remembering, And in the New Testament, we have different things about remembering. But I just had some thoughts here. I wrote down some things that are more... Just remember when and why you did some of the things you did, you as brethren and sisters. You remember why or when you decided that you didn't want to walk the way of the world. You remember that decision? You remember thinking, what am I doing? I mean, maybe you don't remember the words you said or thought or the exactly where you was at or whatever, but you remember a time in your life when you decided, where am I going? What am I doing? What's this all about? What's life about? Everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to do something. What am I doing? Remember those decisions? I remember some of those decisions. And I remember they were very hard decisions. That one wasn't so much because I set on a course then to do what was right. But right away, just like it says here in Hebrews, call to remembrance the former days in the which after you were illuminated, after that light came on and you said, what am I doing? You endured a great fight of afflictions. Didn't say you endured that in getting the light. It said you endured it after that light. Because then your path began to be at odds with the world around you. I remember well the decision to get rid of the television. It was easy then. Just me and my wife and a one-month-old baby boy. But I remember some of the comments of other people. What? You don't have television? What do you do for fun? It was just completely foreign to them. People would call up trying to sell me cable, a dish or something, you know, and I said, I don't have television. He keeps rattling on about, yeah, but you could do this. I don't have a TV. Okay, thank you. Hung up. It just can't comprehend that, you know. But that's not too bad. What about, remember when you decided as a sister, you remember the time you decided to stand behind your husband instead of in front of him? Remember those times, those little times? When you decided that a meek and quiet spirit is in the sight of God of great price, like it says in Peter, that pretty well sets you at odds right there, probably with other women in your own home, in your own extended family, and also other people that you knew. Remember, sisters, when you stopped dressing like men? Those of you that did, somewhat. Remember the comments that were made about you and towards you, and you knew that was being said? Remember when you stopped adorning yourselves to try to get men to be attracted to you? Remember how ugly you felt at first? The reason I know those things is because my wife went through those too. And then to top it all off, you put that thing on your head. And that was the last straw with some of your friends or some of those in your family. Those were monumental decisions. But you esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the pleasures in Egypt, as Moses did. Remember, brethren, when you had some decisions, you were thinking seriously, when you began to think seriously about what your pastors were telling you. Remember when you felt like you were in a desert and with no water spiritually? Remember when you decided to leave the church you grew up in, knowing that it would set you at odds with your family, your friends, and everything you knew? You felt like you were embarking on a dangerous journey and you didn't know where it was going to lead you, but you knew you had to do something. Remember the stability that you forsook to do that? What about when you decided as a family or as brethren and sisters to homeschool? That was another monumental decision too. You thought of all the wonderful things. How much better it would be. I mean, if the ratio of a child to its teacher was going to be narrowed down to basically one on one rather than one to 25 or 30, gotta be better for them. And they're just gonna be Einsteins by the time they're 10, right? That's what we thought. Well, we had to think again. Doesn't just work that easy, does it? Now we're in all these things. Now we've been doing these things for a long time. Remember, brethren, when you decided to grow a beard? Or better said, let your beard grow. Why you did that and what for? People ask me why I have a beard. I just say, because apparently God wanted me to have one. He made men to have one. I'm not all fired up to be a Grizzly Adams looking type fella or anything. It's just that, and I'm not that much of an outdoorsman. I just want to be what God wants me to be. It's that simple. Remember when you didn't take a certain job because of the Lord, because of the influence it might put you around or in, or that might keep you from the family that you decided to raise for God? Remember when you decided to stop being a rebel without a cause and started being a rebel with one? Remember when you decided to let God decide the size of your home, your family, and not the world? Remember when you decided that were convinced that others needed to hear the truth, and you knew that you must do something about it? You started to preach or teach or exhort or hold signs or pass out tracts or talk to people about their eternal soul. Remember when you were interested in Brother David's trips and felt a little disappointed when someone else would pick him up at the airport because you wanted to? Or go take him there? Just be so involved? Where are we now in these things? Where are we now? The call to remembrance, the former days, in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Part of that great fight of afflictions was because yourself, you, were made a gazing stock. In other words, a gazing stock is something to gaze at, something to be jeered at, something to be thought as set aside or different by reproaches and afflictions. And partly, the other part of the great fight of afflictions was you became companions of them that were used that way. Oh, you go to that church? Or, yeah, I know those people. That's a real encouragement. And Paul is calling us to remember, or whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, I tend to think it was Paul, but anyway, the Lord is bringing us to remember some things here. He's telling these Hebrews, he's saying, listen, these Judaizers are coming to you and trying to get you to believe that you've got to keep the law of Moses to be saved. And keep the old covenant, trying to live in two covenants. But I'm telling you that if you try to do that, you cannot please God. You need to remember where you stood with Christ. And in light of that, keep that same vision. Not saying go back to where you were a baby in Christ, but at least that same desire. We talked to a man Friday night on the street that said that when he surrendered to God, he said, I don't even know for sure when I was saved, but I know one time I surrendered to God and I told God I'll do anything, anything he asked, I'll do that. But in the course of the conversation, which lasted at least an hour, I'd say, it became very clear that he still wanted to do what he wanted to do. And if he once ever had that desire to give up anything for God, he didn't have it as much now that he did then, at least. And he was still walking in ways that he knew himself was wrong. And we can do the same thing. Paul said in one place, he said, if I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. And if we've destroyed things that in our lives that God hated, and we hated them because of that, then we dare not build them again. Who are our Judaizers today? Largely, the church world around us, or the evangelicals. Jesus said of the Jews that rejected him, he said in Revelation, he said, they that say they are Jews which are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Two times he said that. In the book of Revelation. And that's pretty strong language, isn't it? Paul said, he is not a Jew that is one outwardly, but one that is one inwardly. And the same with being a Christian, the word Christian. He's not a Christian that's one just goes to church and does a few things that are holy. But one that is, it's permeated his very soul, his very being, his very heart. And he has a purpose to live, to do the will of God. Call to remembrance the former days. Call to remembrance why we did what we did. And do we still have that purpose? Granted, we've learned a lot of things since then. We've learned a lot of things more to do and or not to do, and we've hopefully grown up in the Lord some, but our purpose, our desire to please God and to be found of him holy and without spot of this world on us or wickedness of any kind should still be our purpose and should still be that heart cries desire of our life to live for him. The Old Testament, they had those stones, and when the children would see them, they'd ask their fathers, what do these mean? Our stones today are, what about when your children say, Daddy, why do we take communion? Why, what does baptism mean? Which we're all involved in, by the way, not just the one being baptized. It's a remembrance for every one of us when someone's baptized, what it means to put off the old man and his deeds and be raised to newness of life. Mama, Mama, why do you wear a dress? Why do you dress this way? When everybody around you, grandma and aunts and uncles and cousins and everybody else dresses just anyway. Why do we do this? Daddy, why did you let that man cheat you out of all that money? These are stones. These are points of remembrance. These are things, not so we can remember how good we are, but because these are things that set us apart. Those stones were things that set those areas apart from the world around them as a point of remembrance. And the things you do, the things I do, the things we do as brethren here and in this life as Christians set us apart. And we're not set apart for the simple reason of just being set apart, but we're set apart because we follow the Lord. It's a product of that. We don't come to church, assemble ourselves together just to be taught right doctrines, although we are. Matter of fact, most of those should be taught at home. But we come to church to exhort one another, to provoke one another to love and good works. And we want to abound. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Listen to what he says here to the church at Philippi. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints of Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making a request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me, or fit, it's fitting for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. That's a real blessing. But that's the goal there, is that we may abound yet more and more. And so it's good for us to look back, because sometimes, well, oftentimes, we forget. There's a reason God made 7 days in a week. He knew we would need to be encouraged often. 52 times a year, we come together on the Lord's Day, usually, unless something keeps us from it. And then in the middle of the week, often as well. But the Lord's Day especially was set aside from the get-go, from the very beginning of the church, because it was on that day that God created the world and banished darkness. And it was on that day that Christ rose from the dead. And we now come together and exhort one another, speak one to another, as it talks about, we read Wednesday night in Malachi, often one to another, they that feared the Lord. Back on the thought of all the things we set out to do and we thought about, some of these things I mentioned. Turn to Galatians 6. We'll just cut in here in the chapter in verse 4. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's just that simple. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in being non-resistant in business dealings. Be not weary in having to make dresses because you want to live modest, you want to dress modestly or have dresses made or whatever. Be not weary of supporting your husband. Be not weary of loving your wife. Be not weary of remembering your purpose, of the cause you're standing for now. Be not weary of trying to teach your children the basic principles of life and reading, writing, and arithmetic, because you're going to reap if you faint not. But that little two-letter word, if, is a big word in our language. But it's so tempting, isn't it, just to get tired. Tired. Wears on you, doesn't it? Wears on us. Take heart, brethren. The Lord has been this way before us. And He's still for us. Hold my comrade. See the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing. Victory is nigh. We don't know when the Lord's coming, or we don't know when we're going to Him. But however long it'll be, it's not going to be very long. Peter says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. You understand that, young people? Our lives before may have given place or been filled with doing what the world around us does. And sometimes I think you find that intriguing, that your parents listened to certain music when they were young, or went out on dates, or drove hopped up pickups or cars, and or went to ball games and whatever else they did, or we did. Never forget. Always keep this in your young minds as you grow, that your daddy, your mama, left those things with a purpose. And part of that purpose included you. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, which we walked, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. You say, well, they didn't do that bad, or I don't want to do that bad. But the thing about it is, these things are an outline, a general outline of what the world is living for right now. Wherein they think it strange, brethren, that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Why doesn't she put some makeup on? She looks like she's half dead. Why doesn't she get her hair fixed? Oh, it's just horrible. She must not care much about herself anymore. They think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? They think it's strange, brethren, that you're not infatuated with sports anymore. That you're not involved in all of the passing frivolous things of this world anymore. What do you do for fun? Well, first of all, nowhere we're commanded to have fun. But we find a little anyway, don't we? Seem to, even though we're so drab. Praise the Lord. Our joy now is found in doing the will of God. And it endures. It lasts. It's real. It doesn't have to be fulfilled or replaced by some other gadget in the near future or whatever. Remember, bring to remembrance the former days. Let's don't forget why and when we did the things we did. And with that in mind, let's keep going. Now, let's keep going. Look ahead. Look to the Lord. What are you going to do when you're an old man walking around with a 5-year-old son or daughter and everybody thinks you're its grandfather? You know what I'm going to do if I have that situation? I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to rejoice for the son of my old age. That's what I'm going to do, just like the prophets of old did. I'm not going to be ashamed. Why? Ashamed of what? Ashamed because God has blessed my home again? Ashamed because I can't just run to the latest events in the cities or in another state to enjoy all the pleasures of this life because I have some responsibilities that I need to take care of? Let them have it. They can have it. I ain't interested in that. Doesn't even appeal to me anymore. Praise the Lord. Let's don't forget, brethren, why we've done what we've done. And I know you haven't. And I haven't either, but we tend to a little bit, just around the fringes. We tend to kind of forget the purpose we had when we started on this journey, each of us. We kind of forget, what did I do this for? Do I still hold to Christ like I did then? It's important for us to call to remembrance these former things, these former days, because it's good for us. And don't be swindled. They would affect you, that you might affect them. But what they really want to do is bring you out of the light so that they might look good. What I mean is the evangelicals around you that say, that's ridiculous. Well, I'm saved. You don't have to do that to be a Christian. They want to persuade you so that they're not affected. Paul talks about that too, about the Judaizers doing the very thing. And it's so close. They talk about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It's so close. Just like the Jews. there was a lot of similarities, but vast difference between following Christ and following this world. May God bless His word. And may you look over where I failed. Let's bow our heads. Help us, Father, to be every bit as purposed as we were when we first started this journey. Help us to lay it to our heart as you told your children over and over and over throughout both covenants. Don't forget. Don't forget. Help our children here to lay it to their heart. Seek that which is good. Turn from evil. Embrace good. Be with us, Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. Open it up for any comments or